Let us pray. Lord God, help us turn our hearts to you and hear what you will speak, for you speak peace to your people. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Let us open up our hearts and minds to the word of our Lord. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your hearts, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your way, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed.
Come on. Okay, Henry, right up here. Come on, Holland.
Okay. But what if we do that?
What's the matter?
Because.
Good morning.
Because what?
Good morning. You gonna say good morning?
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. So, did you guys finish? Did you guys finish school this week?
I didn't say that.
Oh, you can say.
Good morning.
Okay, now you have to sit down. Okay.
Me.
You already did it. So, did you finish school this week, Henry and Holland? I know Emily did.
Yes.
Did you're all done with school?
Done.
You're done
summer.
For the summer?
We're going
okay.
On vacation.
You're
going
to go on vacation. That's so
the
wonderful.
The dog is already at the busker.
Oh, the dog is already on vacation. That's wonderful. So, when I was a little girl, I used to have this saying at the end of school. No more pencils, no more books, no more teachers' dirty looks. Now, did your teachers ever give you a dirty look when you were in class?
No.
Sometimes, Emily? Oh, I didn't hear about this. Well, today we're going to talk about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Now, Emily has to read 10 books over the summer. Now, if we all would read 10 books...
Yep.
And you would listen to all the words.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So when you read 10 books and you take in all of the knowledge that you get, that makes you really smart, doesn't it? So the difference between using the knowledge is called wisdom. Do you know what wisdom is? Is being very smart.
Yeah.
It's,
right.
Is wisdom.
Right.
Okay. So wisdom is being very, very smart. So Emily,
what?
I'm going to ask you a question. You got to think about it. I'm going to ask Emily first. Who is the wisest person you know?
Grandpa.
Good answer. Henry, who's the wisest person you know?
Mommy.
Mommy, good. Who is the wisest person you know? Daddy. Okay, we got two men and one woman, right? And it's funny because I just realized when Mr. Kaiser was reading the scripture, wisdom was referred to as a she. So good going, Sarah. So when you read the Bible has these rules of wisdom. So you could read the Ten Commandments, right? But if you don't take them into your body and use them as rules, you're not being very wise, right? So you have to take the Bible and you have to follow the rules of the Bible, and then you are going to be a wise person. So can we fold our hands and pray? Everybody fold your hands. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Proverbs and the knowledge and wisdom that you have given us with your Bible. Please be with these young children as they enjoy their summer, especially Henry and Holland as they go on vacation, and for Emily as she has to continue her education this summer with all her reading assignments. Please be with our church, and please let us strive to have the wisdom that Christ has given us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Good.
Good job, guys.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're thinking about wisdom literature over these next few weeks. And as I mentioned last week, there is an abundance of wisdom literature out in the world. Some of it is in regards to our financial lives. Some of it is in regards to our health, our careers, our family lives. It seems like everywhere we turn, there is someone who is ready to give us a tidbit of wisdom about our lives. But if there's one thing that we love to hear, it's that we are already wise, that we're already doing the right thing. It's music to a parent's ears to hear that their grandpa or their mom or their dad is the wisest person they know. Although at least with one of those, I would dispute that there are wiser people that Henry and Holland know than me, that's for sure. But as we think about wisdom literature in the Bible, we're reminded about something that we talked a little bit about last week, which is too often wisdom is in the eye of the beholder. But the Bible tells us, Proverbs warns us, not to be wise in our own eyes. Don't just be wise in accordance with your own self, but instead bear a different standard. The sermon title this morning is Just Be Yourself, but not as it is here. It has a question mark after it. Just be yourself? That's what the worldly wisdom tells us, right? Be true to yourself. Be your own dog. Be your own boss, right? Be yourself. The pinnacle of a person is in being who they are. Just be yourself. The writer of the Proverbs tells us that there's a flaw in that plan to just be yourself. And that flaw is that we are sinful people. And that if we just be ourselves, if we are wise in our own eyes, if we just follow the path that we think is best, then chances are we will run contrary, a different path than the one that God has for us. Instead, the writer tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If you've ever been to a synagogue or in the home of someone who is a practicing Jewish person, you might have remembered seeing on their doorpost perhaps an inscription written in Hebrew. In the book of Leviticus, God gives the law to Moses and tells Moses that they should write the law in some different places. On the doorpost of their homes, on tassels that hang from their clothing. There are even these devices, they're called phylacteries. There's a technical 10-cent word for you for the day. Phylacteries. And they're actually little boxes that hold the words of the law, and you wear it like a headband on your head as a constant reminder to you to follow God's law. So in all of these different ways, there are these sort of external reminders about what God's law is. So if you feel this thing digging into your forehead, it's a reminder to you to follow God's law. When you leave your house and you see it written on your doorpost, it's a reminder to follow God's law. When you are feeling around on your clothing and you feel the tassels, it's a reminder to what? Follow God's law. That's right. That's right. In all of these different circumstances, the Jewish faith has built into it these external reminders, which is a very wise thing to do. The writer of the Proverbs here tells us not just to bind it on your head or write it on your doorpost or have it on some tassels on your clothing. Instead, in verse 3, he says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Wisdom is having such a deep knowledge of God's law that it's written on your heart. It's central to your being as a person. So how does one acquire such wisdom? How does one write the law of God on one's heart? How does that happen? Any ideas? Is there some magic word to use? Is there a special potion to drink? Of course not. It's habit. It's incorporating these things into your daily life in such a way that not a moment goes by when it isn't a part of who you are. In any of the popular wisdom literature of today, you'll find things like this. You'll find, you know, setting a reminder on your phone, an alarm to go off every hour to do that habit that you are trying to replace your bad habits with. You know, so if you want to exercise more, you lay out your gym clothes the night before so they're the first thing that you see, or you have an extra set in your car so that you never have an excuse. Oh gosh, you know, I'm at work and I don't have time to go home, and so I can't go to the gym. No, you've got clothes right there in your car. In the same way, when it pertains to what God wants for our lives, the Proverbs tells us to prepare ourselves to practice these good habits. And there's one particular habit that is found here in today's reading that I think will go a long way for us in terms of observing God's law and breaking the stronghold that our worldly, self-driven wisdom does for us. And it's actually found in verse 9, if you're following along, in verse 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So what does that mean to you? Well, there are some preachers who would tell you that what it means is that when the offering plate goes by, you should put in a lot, substantially more than you had planned on, because when you give a lot, then God will give you back a lot. There was a church, I'm sure they still practice this, in my hometown, where before the offering every week, someone would stand up and give a testimony to God's faithfulness in their lives. But it wasn't just the faithfulness of, you know, this prayer was answered, or I found wisdom in this. It was, I gave the last sense that I had last week in worship. I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. But then miraculously on Tuesday, when that rent check needed to be paid, a check miraculously showed up in my mailbox as a testimony to why you should give your last cent too. Believe me, there are preachers on TV who fly in private jets over testimonies like that. My private jet is on hold. Because I don't think that is what Proverbs is talking about. I don't think that's what that verse has in mind. But I think what it is saying is that our tendency is to want to hold on to things. Our knee-jerk reaction is to grasp, to not let anything slip through our fingers. But what God's Word tells us is that when we approach God with generous hearts, when our first reaction, our first instinct is not to grasp, but instead to let go, to be generous, to have faith, to put our trust in God, then those barns that are filled, those storehouses that are filled to the brim, those vats that brim over with new wine, it's not just financially, but it's abundance in our lives. I'm assuming that 8.5 years ago, when the name Abundant Life Reformed Church was chosen for this new gathering of people, that this is exactly the kind of thing that they had in mind. That this place would be a place where people would be so committed to God, that people would be so willing to trust God with their entire lives. Not just with their Sunday lives, but with their Monday through Saturday lives as well. With every aspect of our relationships, of our jobs, of our families, of our paychecks, of our bank accounts, whatever the case might be, to put our trust in the Lord and then to receive this life in its abundance. We're not generous because the church needs it, although the deacons might be looking at me a little askew right now. We're not generous because God needs our money. It's already God's money. God wants it, God will get it. Generosity is for us. It's because we need to be generous with our money, with our resources, with our lives, with our time, with our relationships. That's what wisdom looks like. It's not foolishly grasping the few things that we have, but it's faithfully letting go and letting God fill us up with this abundant life that God has promised to us. That's what biblical wisdom is. That's what it looks like. A life lived in such close connection with God that our lives are better, that our lives are filled with abundance. Of course, we should probably talk about the 80-20 rule at this point, which is that in each part of this wisdom from Proverbs, we recognize that it's true about 80% of the time, and then there are those exceptions, those other things, right? You know, those times when, you know, we are generous and life takes a nasty turn on us. Those times when, as we talked about last week in chapter 1, we fear the Lord, but the fools seem to get ahead. But it seems to be the case to me that as we pursue this wisdom from God, and this is the outlook of Proverbs as well, is that our lives are filled with enough meaning that when things do take that negative turn, when Satan and all of the demons of hell seek to derail us from being on the path that God has set in place for us, that we can still look on our lives and be thankful in all things, in all circumstances, as the Apostle Paul writes to us. This is real wisdom for real life, friends. And when we learn to let go of our lives, to give up the control that we so fiercely seek after for much of our lives, we learn that placing our trust in God is a much sweeter life indeed than anything else we could possibly imagine. And so our challenge, the challenge from the writer of Proverbs is today, is to be generous in life and in spirit, and to receive the abundant life that God has in store for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray together. Most holy God, we thank you for this wisdom that we have received today. We pray for the courage to put it to good use. We pray that we would seek your face, to seek wisdom at your feet. And that when we go astray and you set us on the right path, that we don't despise that discipline, but instead welcome it. Guide our paths, give us generous hearts, O God, that we might more fully live as your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.